tonight prior to Mission Sunday to inform, and also we call it a time of a prayer service. And we wanted to, there are several goals tonight we have. Most of all, we want you to be very familiar with our missions program. There's a mission brochure out there that Kristen's put together. We're very, she did an excellent job as usual. You can download it or pick up a paper copy, and that tells something about almost all of our works that we support here. There's a couple that may have gotten left off. We do out of the mission budget also support search, and so that was not put in this brochure, but we also have some money for that. So tonight, I get to lead off since I'm the old man on the committee. I have been on this committee for a couple of decades, but I have a couple of other good guys that's been on there for more than a decade. Both Scott and Gus have been on for more than a decade, and of course, we've been dealing with Mel LaTorre Jr. since at least 2002 or 2003. So we all have worked together very well as our mission deacons to support our mission program. If I can get him. Okay. So this morning when Mel, in Mel's sermon, one of the which I thought he was going to have read from Korea, but instead he went to Genesis. But we talked about Matthew 15, verses 14 and 16, where it says, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and praise your Father in heaven." And that's what we do in missions, is we let our light shine. We let the North MacArthur light shine, the love of Jesus shine in our mission work, and we're very proud of our program. As we come together tonight, we're going to focus on our mission programs. We can focus on how we effectively use the resources given us to let the light of Christ shine both at home and around the world. I've talked about the brochure. Download it. You can save it and give it to your friends or visitors that come in. And we appreciate, again, Kristen's talents for putting such a concise summary. And so thank you, Kristen. It's always important for us to consider the elders and their oversight of this program. And they've very appreciative of the work that the committee's done. And we're thankful that we have the oversight of the elders on each of these works. So tonight we're going to sing about some of these, sing about letting our light shine in other songs. We're going to inform the congregations about the mission points. We're going to spend some time in prayer. We're going to ask every member of the church to pray for these areas of works. And we're going to say thank you to those who have helped our missionaries. And we're going to say thank you to those who have gone. So what I'd like to do at this time, those of you that went on our Phoenix campaign, will you stand? And with those of you that have gone on maybe another campaign this year, stand. If you've ever gone on a campaign or served as a missionary, would you stand? So every year, I enjoy seeing more and more people stand to support the works that we do. So we say thank you for your service, and we say thank you for your service to the Lord. And we will humbly ask for your monetary support to fund your mission programs. See if I can get there. Okay, thank you. I'm not for sure if I'm not pointing it right or what. Okay, when we look at the vision statement of North MacArthur, we're committed to being a spiritual resource to our community, and by sharing the gospel, training, equipping, maturing disciples of Christ who are confident in their salvation and prepared for excellence in ministry. So when we look at our missions part of this, our missions, we have emphasis on equipping, building, teaching, leadership training, member involvement, and training and growth. And so those are some of the things that we're going to talk about tonight. We're going to pray. Okay. When I came to North MacArthur many, many years ago, I think Dan Walker was in charge of missions then. It's that North MacArthur has this legacy of sharing the gospel of Jesus around the world, and it is true that the sun never sets on one of the works that we are supporting. And so I'm going to start here. When you look here at the lower left, you see New Zealand, and there we have Chris and Melinda Miller, and of course we have a hymn worker in New Zealand this year. The next place you see is the Philippines. You see my arrow in the Philippines with Prissy Sellers and her family. They go there every year for a campaign and her tutorials that she's got going in the Philippines, and she also has some countries in Africa that use that same methodology. In South Korea, you have BK and Han. Then in Indonesia, you see Indonesia, of course, for many years we had Marty and Julie Johnson there, but we have, since they have come home, we still have Colin and Ellen McKee. Colin and Ellen, we probably have had the longest relationship of any missionaries that we work with. They go there every year. And then we have a native preacher, Daniel and Naomi Stetabudi. They are in Jakarta. And the importance of Daniel, as I'll talk about in a minute, is that he's in Indonesia, you have to have a person, every organization has to have a president or somebody to get foreigners into the country. So if you're a religious worker, and Daniel does that for many of our American missionaries. The next area you see is Nepal, and then you see right below, the next one you'll see, there it is Bangladesh, and we support the work that is done there by Mike and Brenda Brooks in Bangladesh and Nepal. The next area you see is in India, and this year a new work that we will have a video on in a moment with Moni, and I can't say his last name, so I have Mel say his last name. And then the next area you notice is the yellow area, because we only supported that work part of the year because that was the work where Taryn and Tasha Talley were, and they just returned to the States. This year we have a new work that we are supporting as far as a preacher training school in Togo, Africa. The next arrow I have headed towards Bauru in Brazil, and that's for Mel and Marley Latore work. And then we also have another work in Brazil where Mario Francisco and his wife work at. And then the next one you'll see is the Bahamas, where the Hannahs are. The next one, of course, would be Oklahoma. I've got that out at Luther for Stephen Kirby and the work he does out there. And then we have, of course, in Phoenix, the Salt River Church with Evan and Crystal. So it is true that the sun doesn't set around the world on the works that we do at North MacArthur. My particular area tonight that I was going to cover was mission emphasis on equipping and building churches. So when we look at here, look at this, we see here that the first one we see is, I think, I'm not quite ready. Well, you can still see it. Just leave it. Yeah. It's the Philippines. Prissy Sellers and her family, this year, there 16 members of her family went. There was teaching opportunities. Her son Matthew preaches. Her son Sean hosts song leading services. Her grandchildren and children help with the children and do her tutorial kits. So they are there every year for about 2 to 2.5 months. They come in Team A and Team B, she says, where they come to support her work. The next area is in Indonesia. And in Indonesia, we talked about how Colin and Ellen have been there many years. While they helped build up the churches all over the country, particularly in the island of Nias and in the northern part there, and north to Malaysia, there are some areas that they work at, but they work all over. And then Daniel and Naomi are in the capital city of Jakarta, where they have a church in their home. They support an orphanage. They do a radio program, and they do world Bible study. And they, Daniel, again, is a way that a lot of members of the Church of Christ, a lot of missionaries, can enter the country because of his oversight. The next one is, you can see, is Nepal and Bangladesh. In the latest newsletter from Mike Brooks, he talked about how in Bangladesh, the Kanahula Bible College, Mike preaches, teaches there twice a year. In August, he told of he had 14 baptisms. And why this was important is they'd had some government restrictions on travel, and they've also had a lot of dengue fever going on there, and so they've restricted the travel. But even in spite of that, they had a successful August with 14 baptisms.
Teaching and leadership training is a big part of what several of our missionaries, their work encompasses. Working with those who will continue to carry on the Great Commission long after they are able to do so is obviously an important thing for them to do in helping train up the next generations of teachers and preachers. They sow the seeds for which of them they may never see the full harvest, but they sow just as we have been commissioned to do. 2 Timothy 2:2 says, Paul says to Timothy, "In what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." We've got a video from Mani Pagadapali. I've been practicing that all afternoon to kind of kick this section off.
I am Mani Pagadapali. I'm a missionary in India, and just want to talk about the great work that's going on in India through the Lord's Church. And you know, just want to say a few words about India itself. India has 1.35 billion population as it is currently. And not only that, but also India is set to go past China's population by 2025. India's population is going to be 1.46, whereas China's population in the during the same year is going to be 1.41 billion population. With that, you know, population, exponential population growth in view, and also on top of that, you know, we have 90% of the India's population being outside Christ. We have been using a lot of avenues, and seven avenues to be specific, I've outreached to with the view of, you know, reaching out to all these millions, I mean, if not billions of people in India. One of them is the preacher training program. And the preacher training program, you know, we just started in 2015, and we have 47 students right now. And, you know, these are the men who are the primary resource personnel for everything we do, you know, on one level. And I could even say these men are the major asset of the entire work that is going through the Lord's Church. We are training these men, and a part of the program, there are in classroom learning, you know, Bible and gaining tools for evangelism and church growth and Greek and Hebrew language skills. But also, you know, after the lunch time, they are out on the field, following up on all the contacts that we have generated through other avenues of outreach. Which it's a satellite TV program. It reaches over 75% of the world's population. And it's a satellite program, and we have thousands of contacts that we generate through that avenue. Our students are the ones who are the resource personnel for everything we do. And they are the ones who follow up and try to contact these individuals and follow up and send them Bible correspondence courses and Bible study materials. And, you know, if they need be, they go and travel, visit them personally. And not only that, but also, you know, we have these water wells where we drill water wells in various villages. Right now we have three different villages where there is a high amount of uranium, arsenic, and fluoride. You might think fluoride, you know, you might need fluoride in water, but you know, one of these locations has 40 times more than normal permissible levels. And these guys are literally drinking poisonous water. So we drill the water wells, but also put reverse osmosis filtration units, you know, through the church. And, you know, we have at least 50,000 individuals who are directly benefiting from these water wells. Over the last 5 years, we have averaged 1,000 baptisms a year at least. And that's just the word, just touching the hem of the garment. We also have a free medical clinic where, you know, I am a surgeon, and even though I don't make a living out of, you know, from surgeries and surgical practice, but, you know, I'm a full-time missionary and full-time preacher and teacher. But I also keep my license so that I can use this medical outreach as a completely free medical clinic as an outreach for the church. But we also have widows and orphans program. Right now we are in the process of building cottages for them. We also have a Christian academy where we educate children. On top of that, we also, you know, are fully equipped to respond to disaster relief whenever, you know, a natural disaster or any kind of disaster hits people in our local locality, but also around India. We're trying to reach out as many as possible at this time, and we need your help to train more preachers. 6,000 baptisms is just nothing when you compare it to 1.35 billion people. And people are very thirsty for the gospel and the salvation that is offered through Jesus the Savior. One of the online database, joshuaproject.net, says there are 458,000 villages in India without any kind of Christian presence. And at one point, those individuals are reaching the age of accountability, and we need more workers, and we need more evangelists to go out into these villages and preach the gospel to them. Now again, we're talking about 98% of India's population is outside Christ. And, you know, without these men being involved in reaching out to the lost, we would not be able to do anything at all. To train more men, and it costs at this time $5,000 a month to train these men, and for the water wells, it costs around $3,700 a month. And, you know, for the TV program, $1,500 a month right now. And, you know, we need to send out more workers and, you know, follow up on all these contacts more and more. And we need your prayers, and we need your partnership in reaching out to all these souls, all these millions, if not billions of souls, through this work in India. We would appreciate your prayers and partnership. And you know, if you are interested in knowing more about the work, and you can contact me, my personal email address on the screen. It's idi4u3@yahoo.com. We would appreciate all your prayers and support. Thank you very much.
You can read more about Manny and how he got to where he is in the newsletter. But I want to just point out a couple of things from his video. He mentioned that 98% of India's population is outside of Christ right now, and they are currently training 47 students who spend their afternoons after lunch going out and following up on the leads that are created by the other avenues that they currently are using there in that location. Mel and Marley Latore have taught hundreds of men and women over the years. They're currently working with several preachers who are actively working in God's kingdom in Brazil. We'll talk about one of these men in just a moment. Those with whom they work are all ages and come from all different walks of life and stations of life. He describes his work as a traveling preacher in a training school. I don't want to say too much because we're going to hear directly from Mel Sr. next Sunday night regarding his work down there. One of the men that they've worked with, Maru Francisco. Maru, from his most recent newsletter, says this: "The gospel has been and is being spread in the large nation of Brazil. Churches are being established. Leaders are rising up in these churches. Many of these are first-generation followers of Jesus and learning to lead and serve as they grow in their faith. Brazil needs strong and faithful leaders. So clearly Maru knows his role there. He spends his time traveling around the country, meeting with the current leaders and helping and strengthening them in their faith and service to God. Moving to New Zealand, Chris and Melinda Miller have been working in New Zealand for many years. Chris does a lot for personal work and has a knack for getting into studies with complete strangers. And he's got several stories that he will, if you've not heard him before, he can relate with that. He travels around, as he puts it, to build, equip, evangelize, and encourage other congregations and individual Christians around New Zealand and other areas in the South Pacific region. In his most recent newsletter, Chris described how their local congregation in July sent two groups from the South Pacific Bible College to work in different mission fields. The group that went to Tonga, in Chris's words, got to visit with the Prime Minister of Tonga, who was encouraged to hear about the Church of Christ and what was going to happen in the future. One of the members of that group, his name is Paula, and I'm probably destroying that one. He is currently a student at the Bible College. He and Chris meet once a week currently, while Melinda meets with Paula's wife, Mina, to encourage her while there and to help her prepare for the future. Currently, this couple is planning to return to Tonga and after graduation and help lead that small group of Christians there. This is just one example of how Chris and Melinda are helping to train church leaders. Then to South Korea, BK and Han Hun. Many of you already know BK and Han since they spent time here, both attending worship, but also in their internship. They left a little over 2 years ago, and they and their sons, David and Jonathan, are now serving in South Korea. We are actually going to have Mel Sr. and Mel Jr. visit them, I believe at fall break this year, to go over there and talk with them, encourage them, help strengthen their faith and help them in whatever ways that they can while they're there for a little over a week, I think. So if you will, please pray with me. Holy Father, we thank you for this opportunity to talk specifically about all of the works that we at North MacArthur are blessed to help. We pray, Father, for BK and Han. We pray that you will bless their family with health. Pray for them to have courage to preach the word and the blessings in their efforts in establishing the Lord's church there in South Korea in their area. And as they study with young mothers, we pray, Father, that you will bless this visit by Mel Sr. and Mel Jr., help them to encourage them in their work there. Pray, Father, for Mel and Marley, and we ask that you will give them health for many more years and strengthen them so that they may continue to be fruitful in your kingdom as it regards Brazil. Pray, Father, for Maru and his wife, and we pray for their safety and strength as they travel around Brazil and teach and train these emerging leaders in the Lord's church so that your kingdom can continue to grow. We pray, Father, for Chris and Melinda Miller and the work that they do with young Christians and non-Christians alike. Pray, Father, that you will bless them with health and give them strength to be able to carry on and plant the seeds in the hearts with whom they meet really on a daily basis as they spread your word throughout that region. Pray, Father, also for Monty and the continued strength and courage for him to carry the words your word to the lost in India. We pray, Father, that the blessings of the thousands of new souls and the preachers that are currently being trained to lead them will continue to flourish, and that you will give many more years to his service and to those who are studying right now to carry your word to the lost. We pray, Father, for all these things in your son's name. Amen.
My focus this evening is on our domestic works and opportunities for our member involvement. For many years now, we've supported Stephen Kirby. I'm lucky to get I was going to say Stephen just because everybody else is having trouble with names. But having Stephen Kirby be a part of our family here and part of works that we've supported with him through, goodness, last 10, 12 years. We're familiar with the backpacks lined up that we all help supply the kids in Luther back to school, the Thanksgiving meals that we help donate for, and the Christmas gifts that we donate and help for the kids there. The Church of Christ in Luther certainly has benefited by Stephen and his involvement with the Luther Community Center. Stephen's one of those guys that if you ever get a chance to be around him, he just makes whatever situation you're in more fun. Whether it's traveling on a bus through Honduras while he's standing in the aisle making a belt, it was a 6-hour trip, and he made a belt as we were traveling on a bus. Whether it's his enthusiastic song leading in a little confined area, or whether it's his sketchy street meat eating in Honduras. That story you all have heard before, but it's still worth repeating. But anywhere Stephen is, he's adventurous. He has very little to no fear. And where we're proud of him for that is there's no fear for him to share the word, to share his love that he has for Jesus, to share his love of the word with everybody. And so we're really glad to be partnershiped with Stephen. Another part of his works is the Luther Community Service Center. And it's just interesting that there's a number of ministries through that community center. And every one of them that they have, there's many. Stephen has an opportunity to volunteer. He's never looking past an opportunity to get everybody involved personally. The Hannahs, Tavaro and Shamika, they're kind of one of our newer works that we have. We're going to claim them as domestic. And we had a trip planned very soon to go see the work and to understand a little bit more about the work they have. We've known them. They were here about 10 years ago, and we've loved them. We haven't seen the work yet, and so with all the stuff that's happened, we've postponed our trip to understand exactly, but we know through fire and through trials, people are made stronger, and we certainly expect good things out of the Bahamas and out of the work that the Hannahs are doing there. Like I had said earlier, we are taking up a collection, and if you would like to give for the work there for the church and for the support they're doing around, you can certainly give a donation to any of the elders, and they will accumulate that, and then they will send it to where it needs to be. Evan and Crystal Totticini are another new work that we have in Arizona, and we've presented about our mission trip, so you all are well aware of what we were able to accomplish there. We've had them here several times, and they're a young family with their girls that are a lot of fun to be around, and we're looking forward to a long time with them, work. As far as the work there, they're on the southern end of the Navajo Reservation, just to refresh, and they're doing a lot of Native American work with the Navajo tribe. They're in Salt River, so it's just south of the reservation, but they do a lot of work trying to bring the Native Indians into the church there. He has great work habits. He has a family and a church there that is young and enthusiastic, and we just, again, see great things in the future. We're also helping in the transition of Trey Evans from Putnam City to his new work in North Carolina. So as part of our mission budget, we had some funds to help him. And again, another young man that we've known through North MacArthur. And again, we expect great things for him in the coming years. For the past 10 years, we've taken a summer mission trip. We've traveled to Honduras and Brazil, to Grand Cayman, to Arizona, points in Oklahoma. And we're looking forward next year. We're unclear if Bahamas will be a destination or if we'll go back to Arizona and take a trip a little further north in Tempe and do some work, as Evan, when he presented the northern part of the Navajo Reservation. We would really be interested in traveling there and doing some work. And then we're also looking at some possibilities of some trips closer to home and maybe a fall trip instead of always being summer. This summer in Arizona in August taught us maybe a fall trip would be a great thing and maybe get a few more people to go with us. But during these trips, we have activities, and those activities focus with wherever we are, whether it's in Honduras or Arizona. But we focus on building and sharing, on learning and preaching, on song leading and tie-dyeing and visiting, supporting and Bible studying. And the activities that we do on these trips, they lead us to become more involved with the people that we're with. And we become more involved, we do that by giving and connecting and sharing and caring and loving. And that involvement makes it personal. It gives us ownership. It allows us to really put a name and a face and an experience with something that sometimes when we just talk about mission work, we think that's something that somebody else does. But through involvement and through our trips that we take ourselves, it does make it personal for us. Would you pray with me? Dear Lord, we thank you and we're so thankful for this time that we have to come together as a family and to focus on the good works that are done through this church, the good works that are done to spread your word. Lord, let each of us make the mission works at North MacArthur personal. Let us be involved with the works here with our time, with our money, and with our continued prayers. Lord, watch over and guide Stephen and Tavaro and Evan and Trey. Let them be lights to the world. Let them always preach the truth. And let us always support them. Thank you for our opportunity to be involved. And thank you for your Son, which makes all of this worth it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, Jim, Scott, Gus, thank you very much. They're our missions committee, and I can attest to you, they do a good job. They take this serious and put a lot of time and effort and prayer into it, and it's a privilege to work with them and to help guide in this direction or in the directions of missions. As you saw, we're involved in all kinds of different ideas, all the way from training to church planting to medical missions and wells. I mean, did you hear? It's Manny Pagajipali. Just thought I'd throw that out. Manny Pagajipali. He said they had 1,000 baptisms. We're doing a lot of great partnerships and. And we don't always measure it by numbers. I don't want to give that impression because there's a lot of things that are being done in a lot of different ways that are part of the kingdom. But Manny is one of our newer works. It's Mauro Francisco is another one. I'm glad to have the opportunity to actually clarify the way to say some things. Normally it's the other way around, people explaining to me how to say things. So Mauro Francisco, he's doing... Brazil has a lot of great works that have been done over the years, and a lot of missions, American teams went over and started things, and the church continues to grow. But one of the things that Brazil needs more of now, because most of these churches don't have full-time ministers. They don't have people that have gone through preacher training school. It's people just volunteering and doing their best. For people like Mauro, who have been in ministry a long, long time. He was one of my co-workers when we were in Curitiba. And now he's still living there and helping there, but he's part-time there and just going, training, encouraging, ministering. Some stuff my parents have been doing, and my dad will get more into that. But my parents are getting a little older, and so it's great to have people like Mauro and his wife, Marilda, to go and do things like that. All the way to our back door, Luther, Oklahoma. And we're doing some great efforts there that involve reaching out to a poor community and a lot of other church planting ideas. Well, let me tell you about a few things that fall under the idea of training and growth. I get to talk a little bit about myself, so bear with me. As a few years back, I transitioned from family and youth into my title there at OC is missionary in residence, and that's how I take it, missionary in residence. I teach; they always let me teach at least 3 to 4 sections of things. This fall, I'm teaching 2 stories of the Old Testament and one story, one Matthew class for freshmen. And these are about 200 students in those three classes that I have access to, that I teach as if I would be in Brazil preaching and teaching with a missions-minded effort to it, hopefully to inspire and affirm those that already have a faith, to maybe sparking interest in those that do not. About slightly over half of those that attend Oklahoma Christian now are not affiliated with Church of Christ. So it's definitely a mission field. And those classes create opportunities for me to reach out to these kids, to meet with them outside of the classroom setting. There's a coffee shop there, and so sometimes people think that's my second office because I'm meeting with students there a lot. But I keep track of these things because I got to give accounting to several different people, our elders here included. I normally meet with an average of 25 to 30 students outside of the classroom a month, all the way from mentoring to Bible study to talking about particular issues or struggles on a variety of topics, and I really appreciate that opportunity. I have this semester three Bible studies that are going to go on weekly outside of the Bible classes I teach there, and I have there's two preacher training, or two guys that are going into preaching and that I'm mentoring and meeting with them weekly throughout the semester as well as they go through their classes. We talk about things they've learned, some questions, some struggles, talk about ministry-related issues, just to give you a perspective on that. I'm involved with a few other groups there, TCK, this is pretty close to my heart, Third Culture Kids, kids that grew up cross-culturally in their developmental stages, like my brother and I went through. There's a lot of challenges, that go to that, but a lot of opportunities. So Kent Nancy Hartman started a ministry there, and I'm involved, I help out. We have weekly, we call it tea talks. They take a break from school and come have a little tea and some snacks, and we talk about some challenges and how faith plays a role in that process. We have a really good group. And actually, we had a lunch today at the Hartmans for that group, and I'm involved with it. I do a soccer chapel, for the guy soccer team. A lot of our athletes there at OC are international students or not necessarily religious, and so I get an opportunity. They come, and I meet with them, and we talk about we covered the Sermon on the Mount last year, and so just a good opportunity every week. Also, I do this thing called Faithfully Ever After. It's a relationship chapel, and once a week for half an hour, we talk about faith as it applies to relationships. And so it's well attended, and that also creates a lot of opportunities for conversations outside of that. So I really appreciate it. I feel energized being there. I appreciate the elders for thinking outside the box and allowing me to be here, but be there as well. And I feel like good things come out of it, including like that, the trip I take to Brazil once a month or for a month, once a year. I've had some baptisms come out of that. It's just a really good opportunities. Well, a few other things we're involved with. We have an internship we do here, right? We have an internship. Austin is with us now. BK went through it. Trey went through it. It's a good opportunity because we recognize the importance of people that are older into the ministry, and we have a good staff here. We get younger people to come through and be mentored and learn and serve and help. And be guided through that process. Well, that's what the HIM program is, Helpers in Missions. Ken Harmon and I co-direct it. And it's for college students that graduate and they can spend two, most 3 years, helping in missions somewhere. And we put them through an extensive training prior to, and then they go and they go to some mission point here or throughout the world, and they help for those 2 or 3 years as they're being mentored. And a lot of them come back. This isn't necessarily for you to then go be a missionary. So there's a lot of them that go through that program not wanting to do full-time mission work, but they come back, I think, better for it. They come back mission-minded, in deeper sense of God and what God is doing. And they are often very energetic presence in wherever mission point they are helping. We have started this year helping a young lady Madeline Rozique. She is in Dunedin, New Zealand, helping out there, and she'll be there for 2 years. She's already about 6-7 months into it. And once that's up, we have a particular amount we added to our budget that we'll look at the possibility of who is going out then, and we might just renew and just go from there. So we're doing internship here, but we're also involved in a mission internship through this budget item. With the idea of training, we started this year helping a Togo preacher training school in Togo, Africa. Willie Glee is involved with coordinating the program and helping teach, but the funds we send once a year is to help preachers go through the program. And so about four or five, the amount we send helps about four or five to go through that program. And we just added that this year because we believe to the basic premise of what we've been saying, the need for training and encouraging and mentoring the next generation to be involved in work, mission work. Well, on the other side of, we have some possible new works. We have a couple that have returned. Taryn Talley has returned. And also the Mayfields have returned, and so that opens up some possibilities. And if we raise the money we're striving towards, we're looking to possible new works to be added for 2020 and beyond. And we have a handful of things we're looking at stateside and abroad. But one I want to mention tonight is one of the consistent challenges that many have been mindful of and have noted is how we have a lot of churches that have become small churches because they are in a small town, or they have the dynamics of how that church started changes in comparison to the neighborhood they are now currently in. And these churches are dying. And we have put our heads together, and I know some of you here are very mindful of that. And we have thought and tried to think of ways to reach out into that particular need. Well, just not too far from here, South Walker Church of Christ has found themselves in that. A great building, it was a strong church, but as the dynamics changed, that church dwindled because they're now in a Hispanic community and don't really know how to reach out to them. They have recently, a couple, 2-3 years, Taylor Cave is working there. He used to be a missionary in Brazil, and he's wanting to change that. He has a very interesting idea of reaching out to second-generation Hispanics. He's putting a team together to do a mission-minded work in a community that is mostly Hispanic. The church there, what is left of that church, is still very excited and on board with the idea. And so we're looking at possibilities there, and I just want to throw that out to you because we are thinking of ways to be doing work stateside to people that are here that need Christ, and like I said, we're looking into those details as well as the other opportunities that we'll present to you on the other side of Mission Sunday. When I think of missions, to me, inevitably, especially having been on the side of being a missionary, is Paul's words in Philippians chapter 1, where Paul says to this dear congregation of his that he helped, that is in a partnership with him financially and other ways. And he says this in chapter 1, verse 3. I thank my God in all my remembrances of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel for the first day until now. Not only were they recipients of the good news, they were then encouraged, motivated, empowered to want to be involved with the sharing of the good news. And Paul says, I think of you and I remember you because you insisted to be not just the recipients of it, but to be partners with the process of sharing it to others. Which is what we're trying to do, right? We've all benefited individually here as families, as this congregation, from those that shared the good news with us. And now as we grow to be a good-sized church with a lot of resources, with a building paid off, a generous congregation. We look to be in partnerships with the sharing of the good news unto others here and throughout the world. And this, Paul's, I think this is important. He's not just thanking them. He says this, the next verse, verse 6, "And I am sure of this, that he," talking about God, "who began a good work in you will bring it to completion on the day of Jesus Christ." In Paul's mind, there is this process that is ongoing. From this morning when we talked about Genesis, God is landscaping a delightful existence where his presence is there, and we are in harmony with self, with each other, with nature, with creation. And God's presence sustains us, and it describes this beautiful existence. But we know that evil has come in and has been unleashed on God's good creation, and it is a mess. It's a mess. But the good news is that God would not be pushed out of his good creation. He refused to be pushed out. And he has since then continued to retake what has been devastated. He's continued to fight and push evil out and retake his good creation. And that process goes through the entire storyline that culminates in Jesus and then has very real, practical, significant applications in our lives. That God comes through Jesus' sacrifice, we take that on, and he pushes evil out of us and then comes to reside in us through his Spirit. But that process isn't done. We don't just then sit down and warm the pews and cross our hands and thank you, Jesus. Let's wait until heaven and be done with this mess. God is retaking this world. And it's a process that Paul says, you Philippian congregation, and I say to you, North MacArthur, you have taken ownership of this partnership. You have taken it on. And God will continue to do what he started in your lives, through Jesus, in this congregation, in this location, and throughout the world in the partnerships we're at. He's going to continue and finish it where he will inevitably, and if, at the end, eventually he will completely push evil out and his presence will reside with those that have come back to him in Christ. That's what we're doing. That's what we're partnering with. So when you think about next Sunday and you've been praying, you've been preparing, I want you to think about not just money. The things we discussed today, the pictures you have seen, I hope you take one of these brochures. It's about people. It's about God's good gospel, his good message of pushing evil out and retaking his creation. And we get to be a part of that. It's just mind-blowing that God would allow us to be a part of that. And I thank you. And I know our missionaries do as well when they think of this congregation. And it's always with fond feelings because of our partnership. So as we look for an invitation tonight, and we'll conclude here with a song. And of course, you can always come forward. But as you stand and sing, I want you to, I'm inviting you to continue to actively be involved in the partnerships we have. And it can be so through your donation, it can be so through your prayers, it can be so through going on some of these trips we're involved with, it can be so through helping recover efforts like now the Bahamas there and the mess they're in. Or through the internships that we have here, or through funding the internships we have throughout the world. Continue. Be partners of this work. And as you stand, I want you to think about that and ask God to continue to bless us that we can play a role in his overall plan. So let's stand and sing.